Proverbs chapter 27, or Proverbs chapter 2, sorry, verse number 6. We'll start there. We're going to talk about children and warning of children to beware of the evil man or ex-Christians. And I put those in parentheses because I don't believe in such a thing as an ex-Christian, right? But the warning is there because Proverbs gives us this warning. It gives us a very clear warning of people that used to be in the way that go out of the way, and it's very dangerous. They're very dangerous people to listen to. And young people, if they're not careful, they'll listen. As you young men, when you get out of the workforce and you get around the world and you get around different things, there's going to be those men that are out there. And it won't take them very long to try to find you. It won't take them very long to try to get you to believe them or to follow them. It's a dangerous thing. It is so, or man or woman, it doesn't matter which it is, but it's very dangerous. So to warn young people, and all of us in general, but to warn young Christians even, and young people, to be careful about the people that they are acquaintance with, they have acquaintances with, or the people that they're out there, because there are always people that will seek to turn you out of the way. They are there. And Proverbs warns us about them. It's very dangerous. And all of us need to take heed to those people and be very cautious. So this, we're going to kind of describe that. We probably won't finish till this afternoon with it, but that's okay. We'll get the first part of it here, and then we'll finish up this afternoon with it. But it's a good warning for us as we continue in this children's series, and we talk about these principles that are in Proverbs, and in us raising our children, that we look out and we warn them about the right people to be around and the wrong people, you know, to stay away from. You know, we just warn them, and we look at that, we're like, you know what, stay away from these people. Don't, you know, you may have to work around these people, but you don't have to develop relationships with these people. You'd be very clear about that, because there are people that want to turn you out of the way. Proverbs 2, verse number 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That buckler is a shield. God is a shield to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. God will preserve your way, but he shows you how. And you are involved in that as well by your obedience to the Lord. It says here, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now, when you're saved, you have the power of God to walk uprightly. So God is going to be a buckler, a shield to you. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. That's God's promise. He will preserve you and he will keep you in the way that you should go. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Again, we're talking about wisdom and discretion. That's the appropriateness in whatever situation you're in conducting yourself in an appropriate manner. For ladies, that's very, for all of us it is, but for ladies, it's very important. You know, that you have discretion, that you conduct yourself wisely in situations, that you're very discreet about in certain situations that could get you into trouble or could be a place. And men as well, young men especially, that you're discreet in that sense, that you use discretion. Because you can be in a place where of danger at some time. You know, maybe you're in a place you're working and there's a private place and there's a lot of women around you, and or there's a woman around you and you're in a private kind of a setting. You need to navigate those things very carefully and do your best to avoid being in certain situations that could be damning or that could hurt you as you grow older, because there are people that will prey on innocence. They will prey on the innocence of those that are the naive young man that is not wise. He doesn't have experience. He doesn't have understanding. Ladies, the same way for you. If you're ever found in a situation, you know, you may not be working out in the world, but you might be found in a situation that is, you know, around somebody. It's like you need to look around. You need to be discreet. You need to be wise and say, you know what? This is not a good place for me to be. This is not a good situation. You know, we talk about this in a worldly sense of situational awareness, right? You look at the exits, you look at where you're at, you find out where people are, you sit in a place in that sense. You're just wise about how you go about it. You know, how you go about things. You're watching. That's what it means to be discreet too. It means to be wise, to be careful, to be watching, to make sure that you don't get into a situation that could hurt your testimony. Brother Paul and I, we were talking about that earlier about men in the ministry. You know, men, they have to stay clear of women. You take another guy with you. If you got to talk, you take your wife with you, which your wife is the best. I mean, because see, here's the thing about women. When women see other women, they can see through things that men can't see. Like women, they can just see it. They just look at it like, eh. They always, you know how like a guy looks at somebody that wants to date his daughter or court his daughter or whatever, and he's like, he always has that evil eye. He's like, eh. No, ask me 3 months from now. I don't know. Right? That kind of thing in your mind. Right? Why? Because that's how guys think about, like guys know guys. They get them. They get them. They are one, so they get them. And women know women like that. They can, oh, that's why your wife is good to have with you in situations like that. As a pastor, it's good. Amen. It's very, very wise. Very wise. And then somebody can't lie about you. That, or they can lie about you. Let me scratch that. They will lie about you. I've been in the bit. Women will lie. People will lie. Let God be true and every man a liar, right? So people will lie. But here's the thing. A pastor is supposed to be like Teflon when it comes to that. He's going to have a lot of accusations thrown at him, but none of them stick. Right? None of them are real and damaging in that sense. He's not perfect by any means, but that those damning things are not there. Why? Because his wife is with him. Other people are with him. There's verification. They're safe in that sense. That's God's safety structure. That's part of the way that God keeps you in the way. That's that discretion. That's part of using that discretion, right? It's being wise. And the older you get, the more you see the need for that, to be honest with you. When you're young, you're kind of reckless and stupid. I'm saying that from my own experience. Because when you're young, you're just kind of reckless and dumb. You just don't think straight about stuff like that. You're like, eh, whatever. You know, it's no big deal. I mean, I used to do this. Yeah, you used to do this, but you got saved, and now you don't understand that there's like a fine line of things you just stay away from and you're very clear from. When I was a young Christian, I didn't always understand those things. And then after some time, I understood the wisdom of, wow, yeah, there's traps set. You got to be careful. So God teaches us that, right? You learn and grow. So if I can teach you that some of those things now to be careful with, then we'll all be careful, right? All of us. So then you look out for your pastor looks out for you, right? You look out. I've had women and people come in here before in church, and there's always been a man kind of an earshot. And that's, I don't have a problem with that, by the way. I'm happy. Why? Because nobody can accuse me very easily then. Or if someone sees something like that, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. I'm glad. I thank God for it. I'm thankful for that. Right? Because my goal is to not fall, to not have something happen, to not hurt the church in that, right? That should be our goal in anything, in our marriage, in our life, in everything, is to be careful, to be cautious, to be wise, right? That's what we want to do. We want to teach our children the same thing because we don't want them having heartache like that. That heartache is terrible. It's just terrible. You just can't even, it's just terrible. Anyway, so discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Look at that. There's an evil man out there. He's described, his character is described, and he's real. He's there, and we have to be mindful of him. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee, to keep thee safe from the evil man, right? From the way of the evil man. Not only him, but his ways. From the man that speaketh froward things. Now he's going to explain who that man is to you. Isn't that wonderful? He introduces the character of the evil man to us. Then then the Holy Ghost is going to explain to you exactly who he is and how to look out for him, his characteristics and where he is or her, their characteristics and how to look out for them, how to watch for them. Man, I wish somebody taught me that when I was young. I wish somebody would have taught me those things. I wish I would have learned those things when I was young. That, you know what I mean? That somebody would have helped me to understand that. We thank God for His goodness to us now, but that's why we have a bunch of children that they won't be able to say, well, nobody taught me that. No. We taught you, and we want you to follow it because we care about you. We love you. We don't want you to fall. We don't want people to hurt your lives and destroy you. Amen. You're the future. We want to see that preserved. Amen. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. We're going to define all these. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Whose ways are crooked and they are froward in their paths. He says it again for you to understand they're perverse. That's what that word froward means. It means perverse, right? They're perverse people. That's who they are. They're going to pervert. That just doesn't mean, you know, sexual perversion. It means anything that deviates from what is right. The right way, right? To swerve you away. To get you into another lane. To have you go down another road. Let's pray. Father, please help us now as we look at the Scriptures. Thank you for them, Lord. And thank you for the warnings that you give us. Help us to take heed as wise men that receive reproof and correction. And wise women and wise children. Please help us, Father. We're so needy, and we know that you'll fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One man said it this way, here then it is made clear that the ways of sinfulness are the ways of darkness. Men who walk in sinfulness walk in darkness and do not know the way in which they are going. This is kind of a synopsis of these verses before we actually break them down. They've left the straight path and followed crooked ways. Thus, the purpose of the wisdom that comes from God is to deliver men from coming short of goodness. It is to deliver them from evil. Like Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 6, he prayed to deliver us from evil, right? To deliver them from darkness. Men and women are constantly prone to allow their standards to slip, or even to allow them to disappear altogether. And they are constantly hampered by men who speak perverse things, whether religious or secular. The New Testament is full of examples of this, but the point is that constant attention to God's wisdom, as revealed in His words, will prevent this from happening. To deliver you from the way of evil. Evil is the opposite of good in this sense. It is that which is harmful rather than being helpful. In a sense, it is the lack of good. Thus, the evil man is not necessarily someone who seeks to cause great harm. That's the deception in it. He is rather someone who acts selfishly and thoughtlessly and without regard for good and the good of others. And he seeks to justify himself in his own eyes by bringing others down with him. It's not enough for them to go bad. They want to take others with them to pervert the ways of the Lord. They want to go the other way. They want to take somebody the opposite way. Thus, he hates the godly man and has no greater delight than to trip him up. He wants to make others as selfish as himself. And by this means, he comforts himself. And his way can seem very attractive. Very attractive, right? The world can attract us. The evil man can come along and make it attractive to you. Make it look like it's better. Note that the deliverance is from the way of evil. This fits it with the overall emphasis in the chapter on the two ways, the way of good and the way of evil. From the men who speak perverse things, the young man is also to be delivered from the men who have chosen the way of evil. Young men, you have to make a decision whether you will follow the Lord or you will follow the world. And you'll be constantly challenged by that. You'll be constantly tried. People will constantly try in the world to talk you out of your faith. They will always ask you to drop your standards. They will never drop theirs. They really don't have any. But they'll want you to drop yours. They'll want you to compromise what you believe. The world is always asking us to compromise. Always. That is the context. From those who speak contrary to God's wisdom, they distort the truth and they seek to make wrongdoing and selfishness palatable. They try to tone down God's requirements. They misrepresent God's ways. In many cases, they even seek to cast doubt on God's truth. Sometimes subtly. Sometimes more openly. They delight in the perverseness of evil. I think it's interesting to me because I watched the other day James White, or I read a tweet the other day by James White rebuking the exegesis of Rick Warren. And I had to laugh at both of them because I'm like, really? Here's like the pot calling the kettle black. Neither one of you have any authority at all. You don't have a Bible. You can't find one. You don't have one. You don't believe there's the perfect words of God anywhere. But you're talking to him about his bad exegesis while you're out drinking booze and partying. Just, and you're going to rebuke Rick Warren for female pastors and his exegesis. And you use all these big, long Greek words. Really? I can turn to Titus 2 or any other verse, or I can go back to Genesis and I can rebuke Rick Warren in English right here plainly.
Amen.
Rick Warren said, oh, I think I got a... I feel really bad because my entire ministry, I didn't go back to the Greek and exegete these verses and really deal with them. So that's why I didn't stand strong against or stand strong for women preachers. Really? I think it's because you're an idiot. That's what I think.
Amen.
I think you're an absolute fool and you don't believe in God's word. And you don't even have one. You have no authority at all. And you're going to go to the Greek. Why? Because you don't like what the plain English says.
Amen.
And that's the truth. It has nothing to do with, well, I got to figure out what this word means in the Greek because, really? All the male references you see in all those verses and you can't figure out what that word means? Yeah. You'd be what I call an educated idiot. That's as simple as I can get it. Some of you may not like those words, but you know I don't care. The point is, that's exactly what they are. They don't want the authority of the Scriptures. They're the evil men that seduce you and talk you out of the truth. That's who they are. It's ridiculous. And you have two men there that they're not even using the same Scripture. Because they don't have it. They don't believe it. So then you can do whatever you want. I'll be real blunt to say this real clearly. If you leave this King James Bible as the absolute truth, you can do whatever you want to do. You just find something and do it. It really doesn't matter. Why? Because you don't have any authority. You don't have a final authority that states everything for you. I'm sure glad I don't have to worry about going back and finding something in the Greek to figure out something and do all that when God already provided everything for me right here in plain English to understand. Fifth grade English, right, Paul, that we just talked about yesterday. Fifth grade English. And you can't even understand that? No, I think you have other motives. You're the evil man that this talks about here. You're persuading people to go another way. You're teaching them to go another way. So, well, if I just want something to be different, I'll just go to the Greek and I'll just do it. And it'll be different. Right? And I'll exegete it. This reminds me of cheese when they say that. It makes me want to eat cheese. Yeah. Let me just do that. I'll just go to the Greek and I'll make an excuse for why I can do whatever I want to do. Really? I think the English is so plain, that's why you have a problem with it. In fact, I think it's simpler than the Greek to understand, and that's why you don't like it. How about that? How about it makes the truth plainer than the Greek did? Oh, my goodness, you can't say that. No, I just did. I believe it, too. I absolutely believe it. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I don't know if I can believe that or not. Well, I didn't ask you to believe it. I'm telling you, I believe it. The Holy Ghost has to drive that home to you for you to believe it. I just believe it's perfect. And this is why it takes 4 hours to do one of these. I got to move on. Okay. All right, we'll keep going. But I have to get those in there just so you don't forget that I know where my authority lies. This is the final authority for everything. Like, I'm not looking for any other version. I'm not looking for anything to explain it in the Greek. I'm not looking for it. I have it right here. I don't need to rebuke Rick Warren with something else. I got it right here. Or James White. I got it right here. Well, you stick to that English. It'll be real simple for you. You won't waste your time doing things that you absolutely don't have to do, right? And that will sway people. All it is a big swerve to get you out of the way. As James points out, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, right? No, not more so than when what it says seems sweetly reasonable. but takes men and women away from God's truth. It seems reasonable, right? There's things that people will explain to you. Well, I don't understand why this is wrong and that is wrong and this is, really, you don't? Like people get mad at me about like Disney. I don't understand why Disney's wrong. Really? So perverts fly in your window all the time, take your daughter off to Never Never Land? Tell you to follow your heart? You let perverts do that? Women commit bestiality and marry beasts, and that's cool with you? Is that hard to get? Really? That happen every day in your life? Or? Right? Witches are fun, they're cool, they're nice, they're real nice to you. Little naked fairies flying around you. It's cool. Well, the problem is, Pastor, what is your problem with Disney anyway? I don't know. Well, you're just oversimplifying it. Well, I have to for some people. I got to put the cookies on the floor so you can reach them. I can't even put them on the shelf. I got to have them on the floor. So I just make it that simple for you so you can understand that. Because obviously you don't want to watch the or listen to the sermon and hear the truth of it. So I'll just put it down on the floor for you. Those are just a few things. I could think of a lot more, but I don't have time. I'm going to keep going. Anyway, who forsake the paths of uprightness. Often such men have once had high standards. Oh, they're the most dangerous. Like that guy at the Metallica concert. I used to be like them. Remember that guy that ripped my GoPro off? The coolest part of that video is when it spun around on the ground like that, and you could see the... Remember that? That was cool, wasn't it? He said, I used to be them. I think you still are them. Yeah, we're in slow motion. He has really picking it up. Do you remember that? Classic. I'm getting old enough that I have a lot of classic things now. We got a lot of them. But they've forsaken the paths of uprightness. They can now do what once they would never have thought of doing. They have forsaken the way of the wisdom of God and replaced it with the wisdom of the world. Their conscience having become dulled, and by their lives they encourage others to do the same. They don't want you to hold the line strong. They don't want you to. On a number of things. It's like yesterday a situation came up where a woman started speaking and preaching and I had to shut it down. I love those people. I really, honestly, I do. But you know what? I either believe what I preach and we do as a church or we don't. And we do. Like Brother Paul said, that's part of the unisex culture is all that is. The whole thing is. And then Brother Paul commenced to preach on a lot of those things that you're right. You didn't realize, I don't even know if you thought about that or... Yeah, no, but we told them, look, we love you, we care, we do, but I'm not, look, I love all of you, but if one of you women stood up and started preaching, you'd have a problem. I mean, it doesn't mean I don't love you. You have a problem, and we had a problem yesterday, because it was like, I'm like, nope, that ain't happening. God said, you can go over there and talk to them. You can get that done right now. So I waited like 5 minutes, and I was like, okay, here we go. I was like, we don't do that. We believe the Bible says very clearly that men lift up their voice like a trumpet and preach. Women don't do that. What's that? Yeah, and the King James Bible, by the way. Don't use something else around us like that. I didn't even know that. Is that right? I didn't even know that. Well, they're not technically with us anyway, but David Miller knows. That's why he asked me, but whatever. Anyway, afterwards. But anyway, we love him. We care for him, but we're going to do right no matter what. Loving people don't mean you cover up for things that are wrong. That'd be a slap in the face to every man in this church or every people that I preach one thing and then allow another. Hey, it ain't the first time something crazy's happened. When I first started pastoring, I had her dad was leading songs for me or whatever, and doing that, and all of a sudden he had his daughter stand up and lead songs for the whole church. And I'm like, I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. It caught me off guard so much that I was standing there and I was like, I'm a new pastor like 2 years, like a year and a half, and I'm like, okay. Well, that was weird. Do you remember that? Yeah, do you remember that? Carrie remembers that. That was weird, man. It was new. It was like it was like the first year. Man, that was a shocker to me. So I had to deal with that, and they ended up leaving after I did, so. Huh? That's what it all be. Yeah. Oh, you mean the people leaving? Yeah, that's like a Vader fan. Yeah, but leaving for something like that is like, come on. You can't even argue that scripturally at all. It's like, anyway, well, she did, though. He did. Her dad did. Whatever. Anyway, so I've had my fun over the years. You and I have to remember, though, that the evil man hates your faith. He hates it. That's really what it is. He's led by the spirit of Antichrist. He is a Judas, having been around Christ for 3 years and then turning on him. He knew the truth well. Well enough to deceive others around him and well enough to talk others out of their faith and lead them to paths of error. We're not talking about somebody going to a different church. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people leaving the gospel, leaving the truth, leaving a sanctified life, a separated life, and walking in sin and darkness. And then promoting it. They're very dangerous because they know a lot of things. They've been around a lot of things, and they're very deceptive people. Very deceptive. To walk in the ways of darkness. Such people walk in the ways of darkness. They have turned away from the light of God's word. Psalm 119. As we look at there, Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They stumble on trusting in worldly wisdom. They turn from scriptural wisdom to worldly wisdom that the Bible warns about. They do not allow God to lighten their darkness as David did in 2 Samuel. We see that. David talked about that. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse number 29. This is also in the Psalms, in Psalm 18, I believe. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. It's God that lightens us. It's God that does that. But they grope in darkness without light. They've toned down God's word, turning away from its light. They walk contrary to God's wisdom. They reject the light. Like in Ecclesiastes, it talks about this. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as far as the light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head. The fool walks in darkness. It is those who walk in God's wisdom who are truly wise and can therefore see. But those who turn their back on that wisdom, they walk in ways of darkness. Their minds are full of the world's wisdom, which is not illuminated by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 20 through 25. Oh, I think that's it. Nope. 2 Corinthians, I believe, maybe. What world am I at here? Maybe it is. Oh, sorry, everybody. It's actually 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You following along? Flipping back and forth. There we go. Sorry about that. We can start with verse number 18, really. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? I like how that scribe is in there. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. That's why you go out there and they're like, it's foolish. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Yes.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we got there. The Sodomites said, what do you hope to accomplish? That's what I really want to ask you. And they do talk of the list, so I'm not really making fun of them. I'm just repeating what they said. What are you trying to accomplish? We're preaching Christ and Him crucified you, that you need to repent and believe the gospel. That's not what we're trying to do. That's what we are doing.
Amen.
We're not trying to do anything. We are doing it.
That's right.
See, they want this give and take. They want us to give a little. Because they're used to that. And we're like that wall. That's like if you butt heads against that wall, it's going to crack your skull. Because we are not moving.
Amen.
We are not going to do a give and take. It's wicked. God hates it. It's evil and we're not moving from it.
That's right.
And they're not used to that. They want to find a dialogue. They want to find, let's get a dialogue going. Let's get something going. Yeah, let's chat. Let's try to come to an understanding. No, the only understanding is you're in trouble with God. If you don't repent, God is going to throw you into hell. Those are the terms and conditions. There are no other ones. Can't you say it nicer? There ain't no way to tell you that you're eternally set for fire right now if you don't repent. There's no nice way to say that. There just isn't. To harden sinners who love their sin. It's like they think we're preaching to a Sunday school class of like little children when you're out there. I mean, you do realize that these people have more than like the average homosexual has more than 500 partners. Do you understand that? Like that's how hardened in sin they are. And you think you're just going to come up. Tell them Jesus loves them. Give them a hug. No. Ain't doing it. Joshua gives hugs. I do not do that. He's been hugged like 3 or 4 times out there. He can't. And Joshua, he always gets the hugs out there. I don't know what it is. He's that huggy bear. That's right. Free dad hugs. What's up with that? Oh, and this transgender was walking around, the one that Paul knows for like years. I thought he was going to hug Paul. I wasn't sure. Paul goes, I've been praying for you, but not for, I wanted to see you, but not in this condition. I wanted to see you saved. So he told him. He cared for his soul. He told him that. He prayed for him. He's prayed for him for years. And he told him to repent again. What? He did remember that. He knew Paul. He remembered him real well. I remembered him then later. I didn't remember him right away, the guy. But then I remembered seeing him. He did have his banner. He says he loves trans kids.
Love.
Yeah, love trans kids. Yeah. Those are called recruiters. That's what they are. They are preachers of unrighteousness. They're preaching their message. But then you have churches that are like, we don't want to look like weirdos having signs out there. We're going to look like weirdos. Well, have you looked out there and seen all those sodomites that are proud of all their signs? Wouldn't you just think that you'd have like scriptural signs and things out there for them to see? I mean, they have their signs, but signs don't work. Well, they apparently work really well because they're using them. They work really well because it's a multi-billion dollar industry in America to make signs. Right? There you go. They reject the light. But those who turn their back on that wisdom walk in the ways of darkness. Their minds are full of the world's wisdom. They would have the light of life if they would repent. But they rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Such people delight in what they see as their own wisdom. They find it amusing and rather daring that they fall short of God's requirements as revealed in His wisdom and in His word. some of those, one child said, well, I was made to read the Bible for like 15 years of my life, they said to us last week and everything like that. And I hate that so much and I hate it. Well, I'm not sure they actually had a Bible in the first place. But the way that she said that, you know, when children, if they get like that, the only reason why is there's not proper love showed with that. Because nobody just absolutely hates everything they hear from the Bible. Because even if they stray, they don't hate everything. They're like, you know what? I know I'm not doing right. I know I'm not right. And they know they're not right. But somebody that grows up in that environment like that, it sounds like to me they were in like a Catholic school where some nun smacked them. That's what it sounds like to me. And a lot of times that's what it is. That's what they equate the church to, is Roman Catholicism. And those nuns were mean to them. Yeah, they always do. They always bring that up. It's like, yeah, they did. They do. But that's why the world accepts them, though. They still accept them, though. Right. That's exactly right. That's the way they look at it. Yeah, they are. They delight in it. They consider it God's standards too high. And rather than being ashamed of their failure and weakness, they enjoy what they see as their freedom from God's shackles. The evil man sees the church and the truth and the Bible and parental, you know, teaching and correction as shackles on them. It's just like a shackle, God's shackles to keep them. They said, you guys are slaves to God. We said, amen. We didn't deny it. Remember that? They said that to us last week. You guys are all slaves to God. Amen. We sure are.
Serve the King.
Amen. We sure are. We're also sons.
Right. That
have a father to cry out to. But I'd rather be God's slave any day.
Amen.
Than be Satan's slut. How about that? Is that too straightforward for some of you?
Yep.
I don't apologize. It's true, isn't it? Because that's what they are. Aren't they? I'd rather be God's slave any day. Praise God. I know what He delivered me from. He bought me and I'm paid for with a price. And He made me a son. A joint heir with Christ. Should I not serve Him the rest of my life? Should I not give Him everything? If you don't want to do that, it's because you're still Satan's servant. Amen. That's why. You haven't been made free. They are crooked. They delight in it. They laugh at what they see as allowable wrongdoing, dismissing it as rather amusing. They delight in the perverseness of evil. Yesterday we saw they delight in the perverseness of evil. They delight in it. And we're just like grieved by it. We're watching it and we're grieved by it. Seeing it. Seeing these people. Seeing these children walk up to us, 13-year-old girls saying things. It makes you want to cry. They're so perverted and tricked out already. It's heartbreaking to watch. It just is. Who are crooked in their ways and wayward in their paths. Instead of keeping to the straight path of God's wisdom, they walk a crooked way, which leads them into the byways, which come short of God's righteousness. They deviate from truth both morally and intellectually. They water down God's word. What do we have today? A whole bunch of religious leaders out there, the evil men that started out even with this book here. Some of them. But their denominations, they're preaching, they've got 10 different books that water down God's word. They water down God's requirements. They deviate from His standards. They no longer listen to God when He says, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Yeah.
They ignore it. They allow their consciences to become in atrophy. Or atrophied. Number one, the Bible warns us. Yeah, that was an introduction. Here we go. Okay, a few more minutes here. Is that a little scary? We'll finish it up this afternoon, I promise. Well, I won't promise that, but we'll go towards that way. All right. Number one, the evil man speaks froward things. Who is this evil man? That's why I let Paul preach a long time yesterday, because I knew I needed a voice today. But the evil man, though, speaks froward things. That's what he does. What does that mean? We need not live in wonder or ignorance of who the evil man is or what his characteristics are. We are plainly told here in the Scriptures who he is and what he is. You've been given God's Word and everything that you need to know in order to not be tripped up and taken advantage of is right here in the Scriptures. The evil man is warned about in here. There are many of them out there. That word froward, it means perverse. That is turning from with aversion or reluctance to not willing to yield or comply with what is required, unyielding, ungovernable, refractory, disobedient, peevish as a froward child. They are very froward generation. Children in whom is no faith, the Bible says. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. These are people that outwardly conformed while they had time, while they had to. And then when they got an opportunity to do evil, they went the evil way. And I warn you, children, of the same thing, that you can become that. Any one of us could. But you can become that. You can become that. You can outwardly comply, but not inwardly. You've been born again by the Spirit of God and had your heart changed supernaturally by the Spirit of God and by the power of God. And if you have an outward conformity only, you are only waiting for opportunity then. I will say this to you again. If you only have an outward conformity right now, if that's all you have, then all you are waiting for is opportunity to do wrong. That's all that needs to be there. Because the Holy Ghost will preserve those, right? Keep you in the way if you are God's child. If you are not a born-again child of God and you are just following some outward conformity, then all that needs to happen is the right opportunity. And the evil man will come in and seduce you and take you. And you will become just like him. Job 5:13, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. Psalm 18:26, with the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. Isn't that amazing? That's talking about God. If you walk in purity and you have a desire to walk in purity, God, He'll show Himself pure. He'll show everything to you. But if you want to walk perverse, you want to walk forward, God will let you walk forward if you want to. Now, if you're His child, you won't walk it very long. He'll take care of you. If you're not His child, you'll go your way till you repent and believe the gospel. Psalm 101, verse 4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. This is David speaking. He said, I'm not gonna know them intimately. They're not gonna be my close companions. They're not gonna be my friends. I'm not gonna take them into my confidence. Young men, you and young ladies also, but young men, you remember this one thing. You, as you go out into the world and you're around all these people, I wanna, as kindly as I can say this, as in plainly, these are not your confidants. Do not confide in these people. They are wolves. They will tear you apart. They will destroy you. Do not trust them. Do not confide. Do not give your heart to them. Do not listen to them when they speak perversely. And by all means, do not confide in them of anything. Their counsel is of serpents. They will lead you astray into a perverse way. Do not seek counsel from them. Don't listen to them. You have godly parents. You have other brothers and sisters in Christ. You have people around that you can take counsel from. Right. Do not take counsel from heathens. Do not take counsel from evil people. Don't listen to them. This man, the perverse man, is a crooked man that turns from the right way. And many men, children, will deceive you in this world. They're men that used to follow the truth, but they've become perverse. Not just perverts in a fornication manner, but perverts from the ways of truth. They'll talk you out of the way of righteousness. They'll try to get you to go around it. And the young woman, the same goes for you. Many a perverse man is out there that speaks Christianese. And their hearts are bent on deception. Or they are deceived by their own hearts. And they speak that Christianese language just enough to get you interested in them. Just enough for you to be interested in them as, you know, as a possible husband. But here's what you have to do. You have to watch how they live. Your father has to watch how they live. Your mother has to watch how they live. You have to watch how they live. Are they going the same direction you're going? Are they walking in the same way you're walking in? Or are they walking in darkness? Are their standards completely different? If they are, then I should have no interest in them, period. Because they will lead me astray. They will lead me in the wrong way. They will lead me in a perverse way. So then I should not have any interest in them. And if you ever come to a place, young man or young woman, where you believe your faith is strong enough to bring those deceitful people up farther in their faith, and that you can change them or you can help them, you are deceived. Because I'm going to be clear, they are spiritual bastards. They have no father, except their father, the devil. They have turned away from what is right and what is truth, because they never embraced it. When people tell me, I used to be like you, I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Right? Because God changes men. He makes them new. If you're backslidden, then you can repent. What's wrong with you then? That's what I ask him. If you used to be like that, what's wrong with you? How come you're not living for God now then? I used to be like you, but I became a Buddhist. No, you were never like me. Literally had a guy tell me that one day. They're a Buddhist now. They're a practicing Buddhist now, and they really believe it. But they were really saved. Well, if they're really saved, then the Holy Ghost is going to deal with them. And they ain't going to go be Mr. Buddha. That's not going to happen. What do you want to kiss the belly of that fat statue for anyway? What's matter with you? Those temples are going up all over the place. Because it's spiritism. And everybody's spiritual. That's what they are. You're right. I agree when they tell me they're spiritual. I believe. And except they repent and believe the gospel, they will die bastards with no father to teach them and discipline them and nurture them. They're deceiving and being deceived. The evil man is a man that speaks to perverse things. Not just immoral things, but things that would turn you from the truth. Things that would deceive you and lead you to believe the things that are not true. Or they pervert the truth themselves. He may seem like a nice man or a woman, but they are speaking perverse things to turn you from the faith, and you're not supposed to listen to them. That's the thing, young people. If you entertain those type of people by listening, that, by the way, that means online, in chat rooms, on Facebook, on social media, or anywhere else, you're not to listen to them as they speak things that are against what God says. You are to cut them off. Completely. Done. Because they're perverse. The evil man leaves the paths of uprightness. This is primarily why he's a perverse man. The plain path of the Christian duty he's turned aside from and has turned to error and sin in every false way, which the light of nature and the law of God and especially the gospel of Christ directs us to, in which they have been trained up. Having had a religious education, these people have. For it supposes them to have been externally in these ways. Man, I watched it. The church I went to years ago, I won't mention which one it is, but years ago, I watched it and I was like, do these people believe anything? Like, I watched them and they'd get up there and they'd sing these nice opera songs. And they're in their Sunday morning pageantry, and they're all up there, and the whole gang's there, and they're in their most glamorous dresses possible, and they're parading on Sunday morning through there and everything else, and they sing like little birds, and they're doing all that other stuff, and it sounds all great, and then you see them, and they got the tight britches on, or they're wearing the yoga pants, they're running around listening to nasty music, running around the world, going to nightclubs, talking filthy, talking dirty, living like. Well, Don't you believe any of them? Or you see them in public and they're dressed trashy? You're like, wait. I mean, you're up on stage and you're singing, you know, your opera song up there and you're looking, I don't know what you're looking at, but there's something they look at up there and it's not God, so I'm wondering what it is. They're almost cross-eyed when they're doing it, but they're looking, maybe Carl could tell me, he's an opera singer. Carl, maybe Carl could tell me, what does everybody look at when they do that? I'm just curious, but anyway, but they're doing that, right? They're up there looking at that thing and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, you guys don't believe any of this? Like, I can't believe how many times I've told my wife, I was sitting there, I was like, wait, they really don't believe any of this? Like none of it? Like, they really don't believe it? No. And now they're in the way of the evil man. And now they take every occasion, if a pastor falls, if a staff worker falls, if a Christian doesn't do right or anything else, they'll take that as advantage to say that the whole faith and everything that they learned and everything from that Bible and everything else like that, all of that is evil and wrong. And it's good to live like hell. That's basically that's their MO. That's what they do. They use the occasion of somebody falling for them to live like the devil. Right. To blaspheme the Lord. I watch so many of them and I'm like, if I was a pastor, honestly, if you all did that, like if you did that, if you really did, if I saw you like that, I would preach so hard that you would want to leave. You'd be like, I can't be around that. And by the way, that's why most of those people don't come here. Because they know that preaching's here. And guess what? It holds all of us accountable. We all are accountable one to another, aren't we? So we can't just run around living like a devil because, like, well, we actually know each other. So we're not like strangers that show up on Sunday. We actually know each other. So we can't live like that. We can't live. We can't just live any old way we want to and do anything. God's going to deal with us. And we have each other to hold each other accountable, but they don't do that. And they're a bunch of evil men. And I'm watching them pick people off on social media. You watch them, they're picking off all those people. All those young people. All those people. Ciphering them off. That's how it is. They had a religious education. They were taught what was right. For it supposes them to have been externally in these ways. Since they are said to leave them, for though persons do not easily and ordinarily leave the ways they've been brought up in, sometimes they do. And there are instances of it, and such generally are the worst of men. Beware of the evil man. When he says, I used to be like you. By the way, run from that man when he says that to you. Don't listen to anything he says. Especially you young people. You don't listen to people say, well, I used to believe like you. And now I dress like a whore. See, they don't say that. That's what I would say when I see them in public and I watch. Oh, I used to believe like you. And now you dress like a whore. What a trade-off. See, that's what they do. And they want to talk you into doing that. You do realize that the Bible tells you the definition of a whore's attire, right? Like, so when I use that word, I'm not arbitrarily just trying to throw out insults at people. Right? Like, there's an attire of a harlot. You can go look it up. And I've preached on it. And I've taught on it. And all, like, I'm not just, like, throwing out words for shock value here. Right? Like, oh, you're trying to shock me. No, I'm really not. I'm just, that's the definition of what God says. In fact, this is going to sound bad to you, but most professing Christian women today dress like whores. I said professing, remember. That's just the... Now, go look up the definition. You go look up the scriptures and you go look at it and you see. See, this is what makes people upset, though. This is why... But this is how your children don't turn out to be that way if they get saved and they have a desire to walk with God. Then they don't because somebody warned them and told them what that is. So, they might do wrong, but they won't do it without the warnings, right? They won't be able to say, my mom and dad didn't warn me, my parents never told me, my pastor never told me. No, we all did. Right? Amen. That's right, through the preaching. Sanctify us through thy word is truth. So look up the attire. You know what? That would change the way I dress, period. If I was a woman and I looked at what says the attire of a harlot, whoa. Okay, I'm done. It's that easy. Okay, well, I don't want to dress like that. But you know what? If pastors just would say that, if they would actually say that from their pulpit, could you imagine? I can't. The churches that I've been to, if a pastor stood up and said that, I think those women would, like, grab them and take spears and start to slaughter that preacher. I'm not even kidding. Hey, look, my sister Patty threw a high heel one time and stuck it through the back of my brother's head. So it does work. Stuck it right there. Right, Dad? Sorry. It's past the statute of limitations, so it's okay. It's been like 40 years, so we're good. It was back in the old school, they're just like, put some duct tape on that or something. Stitch that thing up. Pinch that thing together, will you? Come on, we got to get moving. That's how it was back then, right? You'll be all right. Your brains are leaking out your head. It's all right. Just put a Band-Aid on it. It'll be fine. Walk it off. You'll be all right. You'll be okay. All right. I'm going to stop right here with this comment, and we will pick this up this afternoon. Pity these and pray for them that are like this. We're gonna define them each step here in the afternoon. But pity them, but keep your distance from such spiritual leprosy, because it spreads. When choosing a spouse or anything like that, in any of those things, don't choose one because you feel sorry for them or you think you can make them better. Uh-uh. That will make things worse. It'll get worse. Or maybe things will be better when we get married and have children. Ooh, no. No, that's bad. That's bad. That's a bad train of thought right there. Maybe things will get better. Nope. Now, I will say this. God can do anything. But we don't go into that mindset of disobeying the scriptures. Right? Just to prove God can do a miracle. Don't do that. I think Paul said that one time. You know, God does miracles, but we shouldn't do things just to see him do it. Right? We shouldn't just, like, make things happen that way. We shouldn't need one every time, right? We shouldn't do things to need a miracle every time, right? We shouldn't do that. We should, like, be careful and cautious. And this is one of the things, I will tell you, one of the most cautious things ever as you're growing up is this thing of the evil man and a young lady and a young man understanding who they're marrying, who they're going to get involved with. This is one of the most crucial things. And I mean to warn you as best I can and guide you as best I can through those things as a pastor. And your fathers and your mothers, and that we look out and we help you through those things. You know? Because we as Christians, we don't, as saved, many of us have a past. Obviously, all of us do, right? And thank God it's forgiven. But before we were saved, and some of you have been divorced and remarried and dealt with those things. You've been through all that. Much of that was when you were lost. And God forgives and God cleanses of those things and God gives you that new start. Amen. And we thank God for that. So we're not like some of those ministries that preach something I believe is contrary to that. That you're a perpetual adulterer or anything. I don't believe any of that nonsense. Just like I wouldn't believe that you're a perpetual drunk if you drank before and you don't drink anymore. So anyway, that's just foolish. But anyway, but there are consequences with divorce and remarriage. There are things that happen. There are hardships that come with all those things. But the thing is, you know what our goal is? That as saved people, two saved people, that's not an option for you. Because you're held to a higher standard as a child of God. That you live for God, that you lead your family, that you love each other. And two people that love the Lord, they won't have to divorce. Ever. Why? Because they love God and they put Him first. That's just the way it goes. That's the way it works. I see the vast difference in Christians and the world. And when I was lost and when you were lost, you know full well it's different. Right? Well, your purpose is different. Your whole life is to glorify God now. Now I can get through. I am commanded by God to get through those things and to love one another because I'm a child of God and I have the Holy Ghost of God and I depend on God. Right? I depend on Him. And He promised that if we'll do right, He'll do that. And if two people love the Lord, they'll make it work by the grace of God. They will. They put Christ first. People say, well, put the children first. No, put Christ first. That's probably your problem in your marriage if you're putting children first. You don't put children first. You put Christ first. And then you put each other first. And then you put the children. That's God's way. That's the way it is. Because children, if you're not careful, they'll be used to divide your marriage. Oh, yeah. You don't let that happen. Amen. You don't let that happen. You have that proper order. Christ is the center of all things. That's one thing I pray with my wife, that we would keep Christ the center always of our marriage, always. Why? Because that's the strength of the marriage, is Christ. It's not me and her being perfectly compatible. By the way, those stupid compatibility tests, take them and burn them. It's dumb. That stuff is stupid. Where do you see a compatibility test in the Bible? We look for a compatibility test. You know what people did back then? Met each other, looked at each other. Father said, yep. He said, yep. Okay, done. I mean, they might have had a year of courtship with the, or a year of espousal. Obviously, the Jews did, right? But because the picture of Christ returning is for His bride is there too. But the point is that they made a commitment to the Lord first, and they kept it. That's what saved people are able to do. And Christ becomes the center of all things. And if Christ is the center of all things, you'll do right because Christ is the center of all things. You'll fear God and you'll give Him glory no matter what. And you'll love that one that you're with for the rest of your life. Amen. Praise God. God makes that happen. He enables us to do that by His grace. And it isn't always easy. But it's always right. Amen? Praise God. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for this day. And thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. As we look at this evil man, Lord, and how to avoid him. And this afternoon, as we break it down even more, Lord, thank You for Your church. Thank You for all of our people. Thank You for the husbands and wives that love each other. And the children. They love their children. But Lord, I know the strength of all of that is all of us loving You. Love to God first, then love to man. And love to God is what enables me to love others. And Lord, the lost world cannot understand that. As we tried yesterday to explain that to them, Lord, they could not understand that yet. We pray that some light shined into their hearts, that seeds were planted, and some other will water, and God will give the increase. And Lord, we just pray You bless our afternoon. Bless our children. Bless our families. Bless our single people that are waiting on the Lord. Lord, bless them and keep them faithful in the way that they should go. Thank You for their faithfulness, Lord. And Lord, we pray for those that are waiting for their spouses to be saved. And Lord, that deal with that. We pray for You to save their souls. And their children to be saved. And Lord, we pray You'd save our children. Thank You, Lord. Bless this day. Bless the food. Bless the time. In Jesus' name. Amen.